actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
And the stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that.
Who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? Hi, babes, it's me. I'm back again. So, the week has continued. We are still stuck in British politics hell, but we're here together, so that's okay, isn't it? I'm Jennifer Wan. This is What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business, and we're going to find out what the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business. So get some drinks and snacks, definitely drinks, because it's still very hot out there, and let's get started. So let's get started with this leadership contest mess. I want to read you a tweet from Tulip Sadiq, who's a Labour MP. And I just feel it really sums up what this whole mess is, really. So she said, "I slipped into one of the small rooms in Parliament during votes to make a phone call and jumped when I noticed a Tory veteran in the corner hiding behind a chair. Like, actually hiding. So I said, 'What are you doing?' And he said very grumpily, 'Hiding.' I said, 'Why?' He said angrily, 'I've had 11 phone calls, 11, and I'm not endorsing any of that lot. I've told them, but they keep calling me.' Not sure why he didn't just turn his phone off, to be honest." So what we have here, you know, and you may already be familiar with this because you may have listened to the previous episode that I did reacting to the first debate on Channel 4. We have a group of people that, frankly, are just really shit. They're just really fucking shit. And none of them are good. Not one. But, I mean, I guess that's what you get for looking at the Conservative Party and wondering if there is anything good or anything possible. So we lost a couple of candidates at the beginning of the week because they didn't make it past the first few rounds of voting. But there were also some people that ended up dropping out because they could not get the support, including the Secretary of State for Transport, Grant Shapps. The former Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, as well as the former Chancellor, Sajid Javid, and a man that most people, when he announced that he was standing, literally everybody was like, "Who?" I mean, I knew who he was because he's an MP in Kent, but everyone else was like, "Who the fuck is this bitch?" So it was the MP for Gillingham and Rainham who bizarrely decided to stand, even though literally nobody knew who he was. So they're out. We also lost Suella Braverman. Oh no, how would we go on without her? Jeremy Hunt and Nadeem Zahawi. So we were left with Liz Truss, Rishi Sunak, Tom Tugendhat, I don't know how to say his name, there we go, Penny Mordaunt, whatever, do you know what, it doesn't matter, she's probably lying about how you pronounce her name as well, because she seems to be lying about every fucking other thing that she has ever said, and we're going to go into that in a minute, and Kemi Badenoch as well is still in the race. So I don't want to say Fab Five because that'd be a lie. Let's just say the five. They're not good enough to get an adjective. they had their debate on Channel 4. If you want to catch up with that, just check out the last episode because we did a whole episode on that. I'm aware. I think there is another debate tonight on the Sunday. I have to be honest, I'm probably not going to do an episode for that. Or if I am, it's not going to be until tomorrow because it's going to clash with my Twitch stream. And I just feel like me getting some kind of joy from streaming on Twitch is more important than putting myself through having to watch these people again. So there we are. So let's talk about Penny. She's had a week. So she unveiled a poster in support of her leadership campaign. And wow. She was standing there with her arms crossed in front of a flag, trying to look tough, I guess. A lot of people were pointing out that she did look an awful lot like a certain comedy character who was supposed to be a joke, but has apparently been taken as a real role model by Penny. I guess maybe she watched The New Statesman and thought it was a documentary rather than a comedy. Girl. But she looks... how she looks. There we go. She has made a lot of big claims this week. She said a lot of things. One of which is that apparently she's going to break the SNP's yellow wall if she becomes Tory leader. Honey, I don't think that Scotland is going to suddenly come round to conservative policies just because you're in charge, okay? And I find this kind of shit gross. Like, Scotland votes how it votes, and that's what they want to do, okay? You don't get to tell them that they're wrong. You don't get to tell them that everything's going to change when you're leader. Just shut up. Shut up, girl. Shut up. Anyway, so she's decided she's going to take out the SNP, apparently. I doubt it, darling. She also put up an infographic on her social media with a quote from one of the Scottish Tories. And this was cringe. And I was like, why is she lying? And why is she surrounded by liars who are enabling her with more lies? So it said, myself and party colleagues have spoken to Labour and SNP MPs, and Penny is the one they fear the most. Firstly, I doubt these conversations happened. But if they did happen, I would imagine that Labour and SNP MPs have said that as a joke. Or they've said that's trying to trick you so that you'll go and tell her that and she'll believe it because she's that delusional. I don't actually believe that Labour, the SNP, I don't believe that they are frightened of Penny Mordaunt, whatever the fuck her name is. I don't think they're afraid of her. I really fucking don't. Like the worst Labour or SNP MP could wipe the floor with her. That much is clear to us now. So why would any of them be afraid of her? Like, what for? What on earth for? So one of the reasons that she's given as to why she would be able to defeat the SNP, for some reason she seems hyper-focused on the SNP. Maybe because she looks at the SNP and she thinks, wow, they've got an actually competent woman in the leader's position. Wow, that could be me, but I'm a fucking idiot. So she's hyper-focused on the SNP for some unknown reason. And she says that one of the reasons she could defeat them is because she is a member of the Royal Navy. Now, this is one of the things about her that has fallen apart this week. The other thing has kind of been the big uproar and arguments about her fair weather support for trans rights, you know. One minute she's like, oh yeah, trans rights, bitch. And then the next she's like, I didn't say that. What's a trans man? I don't know what that is. I can't read suddenly, I don't know. So a lot of people have called her out about that because, I mean, it's just fake. You know, it's just fake. And she's kind of been called out from both sides, you know. Gender critical people are calling her out. And the trans community are also calling her out because they gave a lot of support to her. And then she turns around and does this. It's scheming snake behavior. And then a lot of people called into question the truth about Penny's naval service. So she says she's a member of the Royal Navy. In her defense, Conservative MP George Freeman said on Sky News that she had fought in the Navy. It turns out that's not true at all. So she is apparently a member of the Royal Navy Reserves. So she's not actually in the Navy properly. She has never served. She has never actually fought in any kind of war. She basically, from what a lot of people have said, people that are actual Navy officers, she basically just turns up every now and again and sort of fucks about in a boat for a bit and then goes home. She has the rank of captain, but it's honorary. It's not something that she earned through working for it. It was honorary. She has not had any training since 2015. So basically, this is all just like kind of a ceremonial honorary role that she has massively over exaggerated because she thinks it looks good, I guess. I don't really know why you do this, because I mean, it seems like a really easy lie to debunk. So again, this is another situation where Penny has painted herself into a corner for no discernible reason. Like, I don't understand why she's done this. So here's some people talking about her whole situation. So a senior Royal Navy officer apparently said, she isn't currently a trained or paid reservist. She's never qualified or been commissioned. How she has presented herself and how she has allowed herself to be presented has been deeply misleading. I think maybe the closest she's got to serving in the Navy is that time she went on a diving game show or something. Like, because it doesn't seem like she's actually done a lot of, you know, serving the country and all that. So somebody said as well, I served 22 years in the Royal Navy. I've seen the horrors of war. I'm sick of Tories lying about their service in our armed forces. Penny Mordaunt plays no active role within the Navy. She's pretending to the public that she's a swashbuckling seafarer. She isn't. She's a liar. Oof. Oh, dear. Someone else said, just as Braverman was given her QC without earning it, it seems Mordaunt is not a proper Navy captain. She did not earn it. It is an honorary title given through her reserve Royal Navy membership at uni. She's never held command, never toured, never left Portsmouth. Another Tory fraud. Christ. Oh my God. I don't get why you would lie. Like, you know, if she wanted to kind of, you know, get some support from, you know, from the Navy or from people that are enthusiastic about the armed forces or something like that, she could have just really leaned into, you know, wanting to invest in defence or something and just been like, you know, I have, you know, been in the reserves And, you know, I've also met some people that are in the Navy maybe, and I know how important it is that they have the equipment they need and they have fair salaries and so on and so forth. Therefore, if you elect me as your Prime Minister, I will focus on defence and so on and so forth. That would have had the effect that I think she was looking for. But instead, she went out there in a fucking village people sailor outfit or whatever and was like, I too have been in the Navy. Yes. Go fucking West, boys, or whatever. I don't understand. I don't understand. Who is advising her? Because they fucking hate her. Oh my God. But basically, the sum of her service is that she's messed around in some boats every now and again. She's got the uniform at home, probably, and she was on a diving game show. So that's basically the same as being at war, right? No. I don't understand why she would allow claims that she had been a serving officer fighting in the Navy to just go unchallenged. It's just so weird. Why would you do that? She also, during the debate, which we covered in the last episode, but I did want to go a bit more into something that she did say. So Penny did mention that she was a magician's assistant in the past. And firstly, I don't really understand why she mentioned that. It was a bit strange. It is actually true. It is actually true that she did used to work as a magician's assistant. It is true. Apparently, according to James Heal at The Spectator, the Magic Circle declined an invitation to endorse Penny Mordaunt, who was a former magician's assistant, because they've said they don't want to take sides. they said, all we can say is that we hope whoever wins will have the magic touch in dealing with the country's issues. Wow. Do you know what? Fair enough to the magic circle. It does appear like I've just typed into Twitter, Penny Magic Circle. I've just found a tweet from her from 2012. Off to Portsmouth's Magic Circle at Buckland. These wonderful and insane chaps are hiking to London dressed as white rabbits for charity. So it does seem to be true. She really was a magician's assistant, but the Magic Circle don't fuck with her. And good for them. fair a fucking enough. But she's not had a good week. Apparently, an anonymous source from the Trade Department said that they had been down a minister for a while because Penny Mordaunt had been neglecting her work as a minister for the last 6 months to work on her campaign for the leadership. Which is not great. Is it, love? It's not great. She put out an article this weekend in The Sun in which she said she would get Brexit redone. How many times are we going to do Brexit? For God's sake. And this is what I was saying on the other podcast, you know, about how there are certain people within the Conservative Party that will rely entirely on Brexit and throwing out the word Brexit in the hopes that it will get people all motivated and galvanated to fucking vote or whatever. You've got to let it go at some point. You cannot keep going back to that well and expecting there to be water in it, because at some point it's just going to be dried up stone. There will be nothing there And I think, actually, that point was about 6 fucking months ago, okay? So the Tories cannot keep screaming about Brexit as this big achievement. Firstly, because, I mean, we can all see that it hasn't been, you know? If it had been, how come they're having to basically break international law with what's happening in Northern Ireland? How come it's having an effect on the cost of living? And you know, huge traffic delays across Kent on a regular basis. You know, how are all these things happening if Brexit's been great? But they cannot keep holding Brexit over their voters and saying, oh, Brexit's at risk. Oh, we've got to do Brexit again. Oh, Brexit, fucking Brexit. Because at some point, the voters are just going to say, fuck off. I'm not interested. And I think that point has actually already happened. But people like Penny don't seem to have realised that. And that's sad. let's see what everyone else has been up to. So, Kemi Badenoch, she had her launch this week for her leadership campaign. And apparently, she insisted that there were no gender-neutral toilets at the launch. They stuck signs on the toilets at the venue, which were gender neutral, and labelled them as for men or for women. They were apparently single occupancy cubicles. So realistically, it wouldn't have really made a difference because it would have just been one person in at a time. So it seemed to be, dare I say it, virtue signalling. But there we are. She had a bit of a week herself. So she was talking about the online safety bill on Twitter. There were rumours that the online safety bill had been dropped off of the government business for next week. It actually hasn't. It will be just up again at a later date because the government, we can get more into it in a minute, but the government ended up calling a vote of no confidence in itself for next week. So they had to jig things around a bit, you know. So she was discussing that and she said, this would be the right move. The bill is in no fit state to become law. If I'm elected Prime Minister, I will ensure the bill doesn't overreach. We should not be legislating for hurt feelings. And then Nadine Dorris, the Culture Secretary, decided to jump on in and have a little word. She said, which part of the bill legislates for hurt feelings, Kemi? The girls are fighting. But I hate the girls, so I don't care. she was talking during an online hustings event about house building targets. And she said that the government should scrap house building targets because apparently targets scare people. Boo-hoo, sweetie. Welcome to Halloween. You know what scares me? Is the fact that there are people that have absolutely no hope of ever having a home. That's what scares me. What scares me is people having to go without food because they can't afford it. That's what terrifies me. Like, Jesus Christ. So she said, it scares people when we talk about building 300,000 homes because it sounds like all these homes are coming next door to them. Well, it only sounds like that if people are thick, to be honest. And do you know what? Even if all of those homes were coming next door to them, who cares? Grow up. People need places to live. Grow up. Jesus Christ. Anyway, she didn't do great in the debate either. It was a bit of a nothing week for her. I imagine she's probably going to get knocked out at the next round, to be honest. But I didn't see her winning anyway, so it does not really matter. Liz Truss, however, I do worry that she'll be inflicting on us a while longer yet. So Liz Truss, and this is something that I noticed after the debate, because I didn't notice at the time. I did say about the neck thing being weird, if you remember the little neck scarf thing. Eagle-eyed fashion aficionados have noticed that Liz Truss was wearing an outfit that was almost entirely the same as an outfit that Margaret Thatcher wore during a 1979 election broadcast. And there were also lots of viral posts showing that this is not the first time that Liz Truss has attempted to dress exactly like Margaret Thatcher. Is this an attempt to kind of emulate Margaret Thatcher and kind of push out this image of her being like her to kind of influence people to see her as another Iron Lady? Probably. And that's quite fucking sad if you ask me. I mean, look, I get it. Nobody wants to be known as like the, we import 2/3 of our cheese. That is a disgrace. Pork markets, lady. I get it. You know, nobody wants that. And you've got to rebrand. But why would you rebrand as a mediocre version of somebody that everybody already hates? Like, what is the point in that? That's stupid. So Nadine Dorries, the culture secretary, endorsed Liz Truss this week in a way that only Nadine Dorries could do. She said, they call her a hand grenade because she gets things done. What the fuck goes on in Nadine Dorries' head, man? Like, what is happening up there? I don't know, and I'm frightened to ask. So what would Liz Truss get done as Prime Minister? Well, she said that she will put an end to Stalinist housing targets. I don't think she knows what Stalinist means. And again, this whole nonsense, oh, let's get rid of housing targets. Well, where would you like people to live, Elizabeth? Where would you like them to live? All right? We've got to build houses. There's no two ways about it. It's got to happen. Okay, and you can stamp your feet and you can scream and you can call it Stalinist or whatever, but it's got to happen one way or the other. So get with the fucking program. Anyway, she she was discussed on LBC this week. Christopher Chope, who is supporting Liz Truss, spoke to Nick Ferrari and he said that he's supporting her and that she would like to launch another version of the Rwanda refugee scheme. You know, the one where we're taking refugees and just dumping them in another country. And he said that Liz Truss apparently wants to do the same with another scheme set up in Turkey or Spain. I wonder if she's asked either of these countries if they're interested. I would imagine the answer would probably be no from both of them. But it says a lot that that's the kind of thing that she thinks people want to hear. And that's the messaging she's encouraging to be sent out, doesn't it? That's, well, that's not great, is it? But nothing with Liz Truss ever is, so who's surprised? Rishi Sunak, what's he been up to? Former chancellor, full-time moron. Are you ready for Rishi? No, we're not. So apparently Rishi Sunak is still sending out a newsletter from number 11 Downing Street, which was a newsletter that was being published, branded to him, when he was the Chancellor. However, he's not the Chancellor anymore. And the newsletter is now promoting his leadership bid, but it's still branded as the number 11 newsletter, even though he's not the Chancellor, he doesn't live at number 11. And this is basically cheating. It's basically cheating. He did admit that the title of the newsletter was no longer very accurate, but there's no real proof that he's gonna do anything about that. So I mean, that's very on brand for Rishi, isn't it? He's also said this week that he wants to cut EU red tape to make Brexit sing. Fuck off, Rishi. There you go. That's a fucking song for you, mate. What a twat. He was also pictured this week. He went on a building site visit. And apparently he was wearing Prada shoes that cost £490. £490. That's like half a rent payment for me. What the fuck? £490 on shoes. I don't understand how people do that. Like, how, bitch? How? Why would you wear them? Like, bro. That could be like a, that's like a deposit for a bedsit, man. What the fuck? £490 on shoes. This man is an actual, like, honestly, rich people frighten me because they have no sense and they just seem really unhinged. I'm just saying. Rishi Sunak also said this week, it was repeated by some of his minions. Apparently, his plans are to circumvent Holyrood because he doesn't trust the SNP. So he's basically openly admitting that he is going to undermine and just basically bulldoze through devolution because he doesn't like the way that Scotland votes. He doesn't like the government that the Scottish people have put in place. So he's deciding that what he's going to do is make decisions for the Scottish people and go over their parliament. I mean, that sounds a bit dictatory, if you ask me. Apparently, according to an ally of Rishi Sunak, he's doing this because we cannot trust the SNP to act in the best interests of the Scottish people. Well, the Scottish people voted for them because they believed that they could trust them to act in their best interests. So maybe mind your fucking business, keep your fucking nose out, and like, shut the fuck up. How the people of Scotland vote is not Rishi's business. He does not get to tell them that they're wrong. He does not get to tell them that they should have voted a different way, or that there should be someone different in power, or that he should get to fucking reach over and ignore the government that's in place. That shit is gross. I hate this. Ugh, disgusting. Tom Tugend has done nothing. He's done nothing. I think he probably knows he's going to be knocked out. So he's like, well, there's no point putting in an effort and doing anything. He's also doing nothing in his role as an MP because a little bit of local insight for you here. All across Kent, there are going to be huge bus cuts all across Kent, every single part of the county. Local people are outraged. There are huge campaigns already ongoing from the public to try and stop these cuts because it's going to affect every part of the county. It's going to particularly affect school children, the disabled and the elderly. And Tom, as well as all of our other Kent MPs from the Conservative Party, have not said a word about it. They have nothing to say about the fact that there will be whole sections of Kent that will essentially be shut off to public services. They will have no public transport. And he's got nothing to say about that. He doesn't want to do his job as an MP. But apparently he wants us to trust him to be the fucking Prime Minister. I don't think. Anyway, he said some dumb fuck shit. He said Labour would concrete over the whole country with socialist homes. Good. I hope they do, bitch. I hope they fucking do. I would like that. I would like a home. I don't care if it's socialist or not. I don't give a fuck. I just want to fucking be able to put up pictures in my house or have a pet if I want to. And if Labour are going to do that for me, fine. Fucking fine. Why don't you try doing your job, the very basics of your job, Tom? Like, this bitch, oh my God. Huge cuts are being made to the public services in his area. And he's just walking around talking about fucking army socks and fucking all this dumb fuck shit. What a fucking idiot. Anyway, so this whole mess continues on. There's going to be another ballot next week, I believe, where some more people will get knocked out. And then we'll find out our final two. And then for some reason, it's probably going to drag on until fucking September. Because the Tories are gross and they want to make us suffer. We hate that. We hate that and we hate them. So now I'm going to answer some of you guys' emails that you sent me. I did pick some out that had some interesting questions, so we're going to go through that. If you do want to get in touch with the show, you can in the description. The email address is there, so you can send in some emails if you want. And I do read them out and answer questions on the show sometimes, like when I remember. But also, I will just reply to all of your emails individually anyway. So if you ever want to have a chat about politics with your best girl, you can do that. So our first email came from Kate, who said, "Hi, would you ever date a Tory? Would you ever vote Tory?" Second option, would I vote Tory? No, I would not. I would not, no. The Conservative Party values just don't align with me and who I am as a person and what I believe in. So I couldn't do that. I know that sometimes, you know, in election campaigns, there'll be a lot of promises made, and sometimes, you know, parties will represent themselves in a way that kind of differs to their core party values. But in my experience, they'll always go back to those values. So I wouldn't want to give them my vote only for them to turn around and go back and do what they were going to do in the first place. You know what I mean? So I probably would not vote Tory. Would I ever date a Tory? For me, where I am in my life, I am not in a kind of phase where I'm not taking dating seriously, if that makes sense. I am very much looking for something long term in my romantic pursuits. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the next person I meet, I'm going to marry them. But what I am saying is that I'm not looking to kind of waste time and just have like a, you know, kind of short fling or whatever. I'm looking for somebody to build something with. And the things that I want in my life, you know, I want eventually to get married. I want to start a family and things like that. Could I do that with a Tory? I don't know. Because, you know, what we believe is going to be different. You know, and that kind of plays into every aspect of your life in a sense. You might think, oh, we can get on. And yeah, maybe you can, you know, in fact, I know you can. I do get on with some people that are Tories, but could I marry them? Could I raise a child with them? I don't know that I could. So because I'm not really looking to kind of waste my time with dating, and I'm looking for something that's going to lead to something serious, I probably wouldn't date a Tory because I don't think that we would be compatible. So I feel like it would be a waste of everybody's time. I hope that I answered that for you. This comes from Susan. "Hi, Jen. Do you feel uncomfortable being called cis? It's a big topic right now and I wanted your opinion." I have never really been called cis in my life. So I don't really think about it all that much, to be honest. I know that there are some people who are uncomfortable with it, and, you know, I think that's, you know, that's up to them. Like, you know, there are some things I'm uncomfortable being called and some people don't understand it. For example, as a mixed race person and as an ethnic minority, I don't like being referred to really as like a person of colour. I don't like that. You know, and I have my reasons for that, and some people don't understand that, and that's okay, because, you know, we're all experiencing life differently, you know. It is what it is. But I don't like that. So, you know, I'm always very mindful. I don't want to refer to people in ways that are going to make them uncomfortable. But me personally, I don't really feel any discomfort being referred to as cis. I don't particularly care either way. You know, if it makes people's lives easier to call me that, fine. But it's not really something I've experienced in life. Like it hasn't happened to me very much, I guess would be how I would put it. But, you know, it wouldn't bother me. It's okay. But if other people are uncomfortable with it, then that's their right to be uncomfortable. So I would have no problem speaking to them and figuring out something else that they would prefer. This one made me laugh. "Hi, love the show, but had to ask, Do you think any MPs listen? If they did, would you feel awkward about them hearing some of the things you say? Okay, I doubt it. However, what I will say is that there are quite a few MPs that follow me on social media, as well as some former MPs that follow me on social media, where I have promoted this podcast. So I've never had any of them come to me and say that they are listening to this. And to be honest, I doubt that they are, but they may be aware that it exists. Whether they listen to it or not, I don't know. If I were in their position, I probably wouldn't. Not because there's anything wrong with what I'm doing and the quality of the work or whatever, but more because if you're working in a job that's already quite all-consuming, you probably wouldn't want to spend your downtime listening to someone talking about it. So I would imagine they don't listen to it just because they want to do other things with their free time, like watching Netflix or, like, I don't know, listening to music or something, rather than listening to a politics podcast. But, you know, what I do know is that there may be some that are aware of it. Whether they listen or not, I couldn't tell you, because they haven't told me that they have, so I don't know. But there are some that could be aware of it. I don't know. So I hope that answers your question. Would I feel awkward about the things that I've said? No. Because if I say something, it's how I felt in that moment. If I then go back and I regret what I said, I would say that. So, you know, basically, you know, do nothing till you hear from me. If I regret it, I'll tell you. If I don't tell you, then I don't, you know. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll say, you know, would you say these things, you know, to somebody's face? Yeah, I would. I would, you know, because I don't believe in being a fake bitch, so... You know, there we are. Hi, Jennifer. Will you be doing a reaction episode for the leadership contest debates? Who do you like for PM? And that's from Richard. I did do one, the last episode, the one before this, if you want to check that out. And that was for the Channel 4 debate. I'm not doing one. I have no plans to do one for the one tonight, and I can't remember what channel that's on. I might do one if there's a debate with the final two. I might do a reaction for that. So, you know, I think that'd be interesting. But I think with the five candidates, it's probably just going to be very much the same as the previous debate that I've already reacted to. So I don't really see the point in doing that. But if there is like a final two debate, I think maybe that could get a bit more in depth, and that could be worth looking at. So if a debate like that happens, then yes, I will. Who do I like for Prime Minister? Nicola Sturgeon. I don't want any of the candidates we've got. Sorry. Speaking of Nicola Sturgeon, this question comes from Sam. Hi, Jennifer. Fuck, marry, kill Nicola Sturgeon, Liz Saville Roberts, and Joanna Cherry. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not. Okay, I don't care if it breaks the rules of the game. I don't care. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. And I'm not one for casual hookups, because I'm too Catholic and too, like, emotional for that. It's just not going to happen. So I guess I'll just have to marry all three. I mean, of course, my marriage to Nicola Sturgeon and Liz Saville Roberts will be, they'll be sort of like lavender marriages, I guess, because I think both of them are straight, despite the crazy conspiracies about Nicola Sturgeon that we discussed a couple of months ago. So, you know, we'll be like married because the game demands it, but like they can just, you know, go about living their lives. It's okay, I won't hold them back from that. But me and Joanna Cherry, we can be proper married because, you know, we're both lesbians, so it's cool. Yeah, so nobody dies, nobody hooks up, we just all get married in some kind of, whatever a thruple is when there's four people. I'm not good enough at maths to know what that is. Hi, Jennifer. What is your take on the culture war stuff? Do you think any of the arguments in the debates have merit, or that the debates are worth having, from Georgia? I don't really have a take on the culture war stuff, because, I mean, I feel like a lot of the time it's made up problems. Like, I remember, my God, see, people think that the culture war stuff is this new thing that's happened in the last few years. It's really not. You know, if you remember back when everyone was like, oh, they said you can't say bar bar black sheep anymore, that was culture war stuff. That was culture war bullshit. And I thought that was nonsense too. And a lot of the time with culture war stuff, when you actually look and you get to the root of the story, it's heavily exaggerated. Like, there's a lot of exaggeration. So I find that a lot of the arguments people are having, a lot of the discussions people are having, it's very exaggerated stuff. So perhaps that's something that we should be considering and talking about when we talk about the culture wars. Is any of this actually real? Is it actually happening? You know, is it true that you can't buy gingerbread men anymore because, you know, trans people will be offended? Or is it perhaps the case that that's not happening? Is it the case that you can't sing Bar Bar Black Sheep anymore because black people will be offended? Or is it the case that that's not happening? I feel like a lot of this is a situation where something is reported with sketchy details and it spreads everywhere because everyone gets pissed off and angry. But at the actual core of it, a lot of the fear people have is not happening. And I don't know. I just think that's something to think about with the whole situation. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just saying we're living in a time where, you know, people in full-time work having to use food banks. So I just feel like that's more important than, you know, whether you can buy gingerbread men or whether you have to call them gingerbread people or whatever. So that's my thoughts, I guess, on the culture war. Hello, I've been listening for a while and I enjoy the show. Well, thank you very much. I was wondering if you could explain why you support Scottish independence. I don't mean to attack you. Okay. I do too. I was just curious about how we found an ally in you. Best wishes, Michael. Well, thank you, Michael. I keep saying I'm going to do a whole episode on this and then I don't do it. There's actually a thing coming up. I can't talk about it right now, but there's a thing happening soon, and it would actually be a great opportunity for me to do the whole episode. But the short version is, right, growing up in England and being quite different to everybody else and obviously being treated a bit differently, struggling with kind of identity. I saw a really interesting clip this morning on Twitter where Daniel Kaluuya was talking about how he found it hard sometimes to get close to the English identity because he was always treated differently because he was black. And I related to that very much. Obviously, it's not everybody, but it's enough people that sometimes it makes you feel isolated and like you don't have anywhere. You don't have a home, you don't have an identity. And so in a way, I was kind of always looking for that. Having, you know, parts of my heritage that were interested in self-determination anyway kind of interest me and kind of made me kind of almost relate to the Scottish independence cause. And then I just kind of saw what the Scottish government was doing and I was like, I like that. That's cool. That's the kind of place I want to live. And I just, you know, something happened in between. Maybe I ate some shortbread. Maybe I watched Limmy's show. But the point is, I was like, I want to go to there and I want to do great things there and watch the country do great things. So why the hell not? So that's kind of how that happened. And I joined the SNP. I can never remember if it was late 2014 or early 2015. It feels like, I don't know. But the point is, I've been a member for a while. So yeah, that's how. Hello, where would you place yourself on the political spectrum? What party are you a member of? What parties have you voted for in the past? This is from Vicky. Where am I? I would say, soft left, maybe? Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say soft left. I'm a member of the SNP, as I said. I have pretty much entirely voted Labour because I live in England and I don't really have a choice to vote for the party I'm a member of. And I was raised in a Labour family, and in a lot of ways, Labour, you know, is as close to my values as I can get without voting for a party where my vote will be wasted. Ideologically, I'd say I'd probably be more closer to the Green Party. I mean, obviously, you know, if I had my way, I would be voting for the SNP because they are obviously my closest ideological match, hence why I literally joined the party. But, you know, the Greens are probably the closest in England, but because of the way that, you know, voting works here, it would basically be a waste. I have voted for the Greens before, though. And the only other time... The only other party, and this is, I'm telling you a secret, it's terrible. In 2010, it was my first time voting. I'm really embarrassed about it, but it is what it is. I voted for the Liberal Democrats because, I don't know, I guess I thought, well, I don't know what I thought, but I thought something, and I thought, anyway, we all make mistakes, don't we? We all make fucking mistakes. And I learned from that one very quickly. My God. Obviously, I would never do that again. I have a vendetta against the Lib Dems now. But I think it was because, you know, they were very much aiming at young people at the time and first-time voters and... You know, and so I guess I just kind of got caught up in the glitz and glamour of it all. And then they threw the coalition at us and I was like, what the fuck? No! It was a whole thing. It was a mess. But I would never do that again. But yeah, so I hope that answers that question. So those are all from the ones that I've picked up for today, but I'll probably do this again in a couple of weeks, maybe. Or maybe even next week. I don't know, because I've still got quite a few that I didn't get through today. But as I said, you can send in your emails. The email address is in the description. And if I don't read it out on the show, we'll just have a good chat over email anyway. So other stuff did happen this week, of course. Such as this, Tobias Elwood, who's a Conservative MP, his home was vandalised after he allegedly ran over and killed a local cat. I remember reading this story and thinking to myself, have I forgotten how to read English? I know all of these are words, but I don't understand what's happening. So apparently he ran over and killed a cat and then drove away from the scene without stopping, leaving the family who owned the cat cradling their dying pet as he sped away. He then apparently reached out to them and offered to provide a replacement animal, which frankly is just fucking insensitive. And then after this, his home was allegedly vandalised, with eggs being thrown at it and the windows smashed with a croquet mallet. Just a horrible situation all round, really. It's horrible that he didn't stop, I think. I think that's a horrible thing to do. obviously it may have been an accident, and that's understandable, but the very least you can do is speak to the people and say, look, I'm really sorry, this was an accident, I'm so sorry, rather than just driving away and acting like it didn't happen. Like, what the fuck is that? It's fucking insane. It's gross. So you may remember Jamie Wallace was previously charged with driving offences. He went to trial this week, and he was convicted of 3 offences but cleared of driving without due care and attention. So this was a crash that happened last November. Jamie has since come out as trans since the crash and everything that happened as a result of that, but has said, just to clarify, that he does not want to make public any changes of pronouns or names at the moment. So the judge was pretty direct, let's say, with what they said in response to Jamie's defense. They said, I'm going to be upfront. I didn't find the defendant credible in the evidence he gave. When I watched him give evidence, it seemed to me not only was he fitting his own behaviour around the behaviour of PTSD, and his actions on the night does not suggest he was overwhelmed and acting out of fear that night. Having PTSD is not a defence. What the prosecution have proved to me is that he was able to make decisions that night. He made bad decisions. I'm not sure he was not prevented through PTSD to giving details or particulars and reporting the accident soon after. He made the decision he didn't want to be there and made a decision to ring his father. Through all that period, he could have rung 999 or 101. He didn't. I'm sure he didn't through a conscious choice, not through being overwhelmed or acting irrationally. Jesus. So, so Jamie crashed the car. Jamie Wallace crashed the car, and then left and called his dad to come and pick him up. His dad was also looking at charges because they were going to charge his dad with basically hiding Jamie Wallace. But those charges were dropped. There are a lot of people that had a lot to say about this. There are a lot of people talking about what Jamie Wallace was wearing at the time. I would say that the fact that, you know, there was dangerous driving, somebody could have realistically been killed, I would say that's probably more important than, you know, a piece of fabric, however that manifests. There was an absolute bizarre comment from India Willoughby that who you may remember for her ambitions to be a Labour candidate, apparently, but I mean, who knows if that's still happening. So she said on Twitter, I'll bet my liver Jamie Wallace is not transgender. He's a fetishist who thought he could use trans to get a bit of sympathy from the court. Hasn't changed his name, pronouns, hopes to be trans in the future. And then she's put a shrug emoji. I mean, I think here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. I don't know other people's lives. I don't know what's going on in their head. I don't know what the fuck is going on in anybody's life, in anybody's mind, any given moment, except for my own. And half the time, I don't even know what's going on up there. Like, I don't know. but I don't think that you get to revoke somebody's trans card just because they may be bringing negative attention to you. I don't think you get to say, oh, no, no, but you're not actually trans because, you know, because you're making us look bad, you know, and you're embarrassing us. And, you know, I don't really think that's how it works, India. I'm just saying, love. I'm not sure who made India the boss of the trans community anyway. But there we are. But there is a lot of people discussing whether he should remain as an MP. Honestly speaking, I don't think so. I don't think so. I have sympathy because I know he has talked about, you know, going through an ordeal, experiencing rape, and I do feel a lot of sympathy there and a lot of empathy. And I don't think that that should be a barrier for working in public office at all. Absolutely not. I don't think something like that, you know, should stop you. But I do think dangerous driving should. And I get that he has said, you know, it was a result of trauma. However, people could have died. Look, I understand sometimes people do fucking stupid, dangerous, reckless things when they're frightened, when they're upset. I get that. I've literally been there. If I told you all the stupid things I've done. But when you reach a point where you're endangering other people, then it has to stop. And you have to call into question that person's judgment. Luckily, nobody died. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. But a member of the public could have found their way in front of his car. He could have crashed into a member of the public. He could have crashed into, like directly through someone's window and killed a bunch of people or injured a bunch of people. He could have run someone over. And he does not seem ready to take responsibility for that. And so I would say for that reason, I don't think it's appropriate that he continues in his role as a member of parliament. Do I think he really is trans or not, which is the big question currently everyone's asking? I don't know. It's not my fucking business. But the question of should he be an elected official, should he be a member of parliament, that is my business. And I'm saying no. So I don't think he's going to stand down, though. Like, I really don't. I don't see that for him. I do not see that for him. Speaking of people standing down, Boris has decided he is rage quitting Prime Minister's questions. He made it clear this week, or last week now, that was going to be his last Prime Minister's questions. He doesn't want to do any more. So he's rage quit. He's gone. He's like, bye, bitch. Which is sad, you know? Sad cringe. Speaking of sad cringe, heat waves are apparently woke nonsense right now. John Hayes, a Conservative MP, has said that people taking precautions during the heat wave are snowflakes and cowards. Well, excuse me for not wanting to get heat stroke or like really bad sunburn. Like, sorry. Sorry for trying to take care of my body by like not getting ill. What the fuck? What an idiot, man. Like, why would you not be encouraging people to look after themselves? It's not snowflakey or cowardly to make sure that you don't get sun damage on your skin or something like that. Like, Jesus Christ. And it's just this, like, pathetic show of, like, toxic Toriness, you know? Oh, I'm so anti-woke that I'm fucking fast asleep all the time. You know, every single thing in the whole world, I'm going to come up with some reason why it's woke and stupid. It's like, get a life, mate. Get a fucking life. Go out and touch grass. But wear sunscreen, you basic bitch. Anyway. Speaking of basic bitches, Brendan Clark-Smith, Conservative MP, could also be called a snowflake, given his actions this week. So you may remember I talked last week about a picture that had been circulating about him and some rumours that were unsubstantiated and him being upset by that, you know, and about how we don't need to make stuff up about people as bad as him because there's already a lot going on. Well, he's now suing people, apparently. Well, sort of, but not really. It's a bit unclear, to be honest, because the people that have come forward, some of them have described themselves as being sued, but then they've said they're not quite being sued, but they've been asked to pay damages for defaming him on Twitter. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how legal it is for someone to ask for money when they haven't sued you. Like, I don't fucking know. And it's that's not my business because I didn't defame him. But what I will say is this. He has a much bigger platform than most of the people that posted it, and he made it clear what the context of the photo was. I'm just saying, does this need to happen? Do you need to do this? Is that money going to help in any way? I don't think that it will. I would hope that if he is being given money for what's happened, that he will consider donating it. I think that would be a good message because, you know, one of the things he did say was that the original photo, he was fundraising in that picture. So, you know, maybe donate some more to those causes. I think that would be a good way to show that, you know, you can be a good sport. I'm just saying. Let's talk about Andy Burnham, Mayor of Greater Manchester, man with eyebrows that puzzle and perplex the people of Mumsnet, and former health secretary. He was speaking at the Contaminated Blood Inquiry this week, and he said that he believed there should be corporate manslaughter charges brought against the government. And I agree, Andy Burnham. Unfortunately, I've talked about it a bit before, but the Contaminated Blood Inquiry is not getting all that much notice, probably because it's just constant shit going on, mate, honestly. But I would recommend, you know, for people to just sort of take a look in and see what's going on. But, you know, with every hearing, every bit of evidence that comes out, it really does seem as if the UK government was responsible for something truly horrific. And I agree with Andy Burnham, and I do think that there needs to be so much more done for the victims of this scandal, and I hope that this inquiry will bring that about. So Boris Johnson, let's talk about him again for a sec. This bitch. Boris Johnson, he's rage quitting PMQs, and he's also apparently rage quitting Cobra. He's decided he's not going to be at the Cobra meeting this weekend. There was a Cobra meeting on the heat wave and the crisis. There are temperatures predicted to be around 40 degrees for next week. So there was a Cobra meeting about what to do about it. Boris Johnson decided not to go. He went to Chequers to have a farewell party. He's the one that said he wanted to stay on as a caretaker prime minister, and now he's just like running around like, well, I can't be asked. I've got a party to go to. Sorry, guys. You fucking wanted this, bitch. You said you wanted to be the caretaker prime minister. Well, come and fucking do it then. Jesus. I hate him. I really do. I really do. I can't lie. He's an absolute fucking clown. And I can't wait until I never have to speak about Boris Johnson ever again. Okay, besties, that's all for this week, but I'll catch you again next week. If you like this episode, please consider giving us a rating or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can email us, the email address is in the description. You can also send us a voice message if you feel like doing that too, through Anchor, which distributes our podcasts. If you want to do that, the link for that is also in the description. And I will catch you again next week. Love you, bye. What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
The stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog, sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
That's a dodgy view.
I don't know if you've been to Peppa Pig World. Who's been to Panzer? I mean, anybody's been to Peppa Pig World.
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously, what the fuck?